Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is a very unique day. What is it, February the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2020? This is hour number one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Constitution and our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. You want incredible live and on-demand radio? This talk show, LibertyRoundtable.com, around-the-clock incredible talk radio, LovingLiberty.net, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Brian Hyde, Kate Daly, all three from Utah. Believe it or not, between me and Brian and Kate, that's 7 hours of incredible live talk radio per day. That doesn't even round out the hosts. Those are just the ones from the Olympic state of Utah, right? All right. Plus, we got Jesse Lee Peterson. We got C.L. Bryant. We've got Beth Ann Schoenberg. We've got Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I mean, we're just getting started. Check out the round-the-clock incredible lineup. And by the way, we're adding a bunch of other shows to this, too. Oh, it's just tremendous what we're doing. Radio for Kids. Oh, yeah, We Are Kids Radio. Tremendous stuff. I'm just telling you, we got it going on, people. Liberty is important. LovingLiberty.net is the website. Now, they got an online web URL that you can listen to live. You got online lineup of the talk show hosts with archives. And then you've got the phone apps, the Loving Liberty mobile or smartphone app. Download it for Android or iOS, or that's Apple, if you will. And you can listen to live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. Now, if you have the heart to help and donate, if you have a couple of pennies to rub together to help us grow this thing, we would love everything you would support us with. Okay? It's like the Widow's Mite Radio Network. This is a couple of people getting together and saying liberty is important and radio is one of the best ways to educate, to inform, to entertain. Okay? All these things mixed together, we want to take it on. Okay? We stand for the sacred cause of liberty. LovingLiberty.net is the website. All right, now, I mentioned today is a unique day. It is the 29th, February 29th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Now, how often do you get the 29th? What is it, every leap year? And the leap year phenomena has been weird. You know, how do you round out how long it takes for the, what, Earth to go around the sun, or, you know, all this stuff, right? How do you figure, well, it never works out perfectly. And so there's always this, quote, readjusting of time. And days and years and hours and minutes and months and wow, it's kind of weird. Anyway, when you study it, it's kind of very strange. Nevertheless, it is a leap year. They say those who are born on this day finally get some presents. Oh, man. All you got to do if you want to be a newlywed is get married on February the 29th. And then, of course, you only got to, you know, do anniversaries every 4 years and stuff. And so you can be married like 20 years and just say, hey, I've been married like 5 years or so. But, you know, your lady wouldn't be too happy with that, right? Hard to remember your anniversary every 4 years, too, just saying. All right, anyway, very interesting how that all works. Just thought I'd bring that up. Now, we talked yesterday in detail about LovingLiberty.net welcomes Jeanette Finnicum to Liberty Hall. That was yesterday, this evening at 6 p.m. That was Friday evening. She will give an update on the wrongful death lawsuit of her husband, LaVoy Finnicum. And the event is free, and I'm telling you right now, it was an incredible event. I went to it. Me and Kirk Crosby and Lowell Nelson, who you enjoy every Monday on the radio with us, we were all three there, and I'm telling you, it was really good. I mean, really good. And you know what? I have followed the Ammon Bundy case forever, and I have followed the LaVoy Finnicum situation forever, and every time I turn around, Brian Hyde was the MC for the event last night. One of my co-hosts, incredible talk show, by the way, Loving Liberty with Brian Hyde. Check it out at LovingLiberty.net. Anyway, I bring this up because he did a tremendous job when he was emceeing this thing, and he made a point that I really found interesting. He said, you know what, I've followed this case and these cases for a long time. I've been really close to them. And every time I hear Jeanette speak or others speak on the topic, I learn something new. And boy, howdy, is he spot on that reality. I mean it. Look, I probably followed the Bundys as close as anybody. I'm not trying to take any credit for anything. I'm just telling you that, I mean, I had on Ammon Bundy while he was in jail. I had on Ammon Bundy while he was in the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. I had on Ammon Bundy before they went in. I had Ammon, okay, I've been tied to this thing big time. We had Richard Mack go to Oregon and speak while they were there, holding the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. We literally were live there on the day of the rally, myself and my co-host Kirk Crosby and Richard Mack. And so we watched this film, Dead Man Talking, about Lavoie Finicum. And wow, lo and behold, they're showing the film in my photo. A picture of the people marching in the rally comes up, and I'm front and center in that photo. Okay, we were there on that day, 2016, January the 2nd. And we were leading the rally, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, and Richard Mack. There was several hundred people streaming behind us, and they took this big picture. Other people had their faces covered because it was almost 0 degrees outside. They weren't hiding from anything. It was just really cold. I was the only one stupid enough to have my face completely showing. Anyway, I'm center in that picture, and I'm in this film, Dead Man Talking, episode 2. I don't know if I'm in other episodes or not. I'd have to look. But nevertheless, I bring this up because, you know what? I've been really close to this thing. Really close. Right? I mean, we were there. Anyway, so after Mark spoke and Jeanette spoke, and I asked to speak for a second at the rally last night, or at the event last night, lovingliberty.net, in the event at Liberty Hall. And I spoke for a minute there, and I basically wanted to tell part of the story that I don't know how many people know, which was, you know what? We did have an incredible peaceful rally. And we did go and meet the Hammonds. And I shook Mr. Hammond's hand, and I gave Mrs. Hammond a big old hug. And I said to them right on their front porch, I said, you know what? We will never forget you guys. This is when they were going to go to jail, right? Wrongfully so, in my humble opinion, to which I'm entitled. Nevertheless, and I gave Sister Hammond a hug and said, you know what? We will never forget you. I'm in the media. We will do everything we can to see your release, to see you get free. This is wrong. And she was in tears. And then I turned around, and Ammon Bundy was right behind me waiting for his turn to, you know, give the Hammonds a hug. And so I shook Ammon's hand, gave him a quick hug. And anyway, then after we all gave them a hug on their porch and told them what would do for them and why we were there and peacefully what we wanted to accomplish and everything, it was a tremendous peaceful rally. Freezing cold outside, like 8 degrees. Really, really cold in Bend, Oregon, or in, you know, this Harney County, Oregon, or whatever it's called. Okay, and then we basically all stood back, and the Hammonds were on their porch, and, you know, Mr. Hammond basically said, you know what, this isn't about me. I hope you guys understand that. He expressed kind of some frustration. This isn't about me. This is about America. This is about private property. This is about us all. This cause of liberty is bigger than all of us. And I agreed with him. But then it started small, and I believe it or not, I don't want to take credit for it, but I think Richard Mack started it. And then I jumped in so quickly, and so did Kurt, and then all of a sudden we had a groundswell. We sang the Hammonds' Amazing Grace live. There was probably 200 of us. And it just started out so small. Amazing. Okay, and then all of a sudden 2 and 5 and 10 and 50 and 20 and a couple of hundred, and we sang Amazing Grace to the Hammonds. And a lot of people debate that day. Some debate whether Ammon and those guys should have taken over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. Others are saying that, you know, they shouldn't. I was one of the ones that believed the rally was wonderful, the takeover wasn't wise, or the Occupy wasn't wise, whatever you want to call it, the protest, the peaceful protest. I agree that Ammon was peaceful. And you know what? Ammon and I are dear friends to this day, even though we disagree on that point. He thinks it was necessary to take over, and I don't really personally believe it was the wisest move. Nevertheless, I understand it, and I don't fault him for it, and I back him completely. Nevertheless, let's be very clear. Just because Ammon and I don't agree on everything best strategy-wise, I consider Ammon a dear friend, and I'd give my life for him. I'm telling you right now, Ammon Bundy is one of the best, most pure people I know. Okay, so just because I don't agree with everything, look, I don't agree with everything with anybody that I know, really. Okay, we all have our own opinions, okay, which we're entitled to. But anyway, I consider Ammon Bundy a dear friend, and I back him completely. Nevertheless, I'm digressing, except I want to point out that it doesn't matter how you felt about that day. I don't know, you know, some people say the rally was worthless. Some people say we shouldn't have done the takeover. Okay, you can think what you want about that day. I'm here to be a witness. And I said this last night in my little, you know, kind of a couple minute speech. I wasn't even called to speak or anything. I just wanted to say this because, man, the movie, the film, Dead Men Talking, episode 2 was so impactful to me. I mean, I was in tears in half of it. And I was in awe of the patriotism of these people in the other half. I mean, it was incredible. All right. Anyway, and so I basically said, you know what? I don't care how you feel about that day. That day was sacred. It was absolutely a sacred day. A day never to be forgotten, or a day to always be remembered, to never forget. Why? Because we peacefully demonstrated who we are. Okay? Really, this battle is nothing more than the war continued. The war in heaven continued on earth. Let me say it correctly. And it's a battle between good and evil, right and wrong, God and Satan. And when rogue agents in the government have a plan to murder, it's evil. I don't care if they have government badges on or not. It's evil. It's wrong. It's satanic. It's horrible. Okay, and so we're the good guys. And so we go there and demonstrate peacefully. And we're trying to make a difference to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. That's what we're there for. That's what we're doing, right? And we do it incredibly peaceful. And I'm telling you, that day was sacred. And when we sang Amazing Grace to the Hammonds, it typified our intent, our peaceful intent to follow the Prince of Peace and to set the standard. Our prayers were with the Hammonds, and thanks to Donald Trump, the Hammonds are free today, baby. Yes, for the sacred cause of liberty. Yes, indeed.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, I am Sam Bushman, ladies and gentlemen, and I attended, and I'm reporting on, the LovingLiberty.net event at Liberty Hall last night. Jeanette Finnicum updates everyone on the lawsuit that she has against the federal government for the intentional murder of her husband, Lavoie Finnicum, and I'm telling you, it was an incredible event. We saw the second episode of Dead Man Talking documentary. Just tremendous stuff. Anyway, and so I was highlighting last night at this event. We attended the peaceful rally on January the 2nd, 2016, and we were front and center in this. And we sang Amazing Grace, documenting our peaceful intent before the world. And the media lied, manipulated, and just absolutely manipulated what the American people learned about who we were and what we were doing. It was so sad. But I say that day was sacred. I say that Lavoie Finicum is an American patriot hero that gave his life for the sacred cause of liberty. There were no charges against Lavoie. There was nothing, and this is what I learned. I thought there was a couple of minor charges or whatever. There was nothing against Lavoie at all. He had broken no law, admitted government officials at all levels. Let me say that again. He had broken no laws. Government officials at all levels admitted it. And guess who helped force those admissions? My buddy Matt Shea, well-known legislator from the state of Washington, personal dear friend, an attorney, and more. Matt Shea's a gentleman. Anyway, there's so much to cover in this. Wow. As well as reps from other states, but they forced the government to admit that Lavoie Finicum and others had broken no laws. None. Zero. In fact, Lavoie Finicum didn't even have a traffic ticket. In fact, Lavoie's wife, Jeanette Finicum, would speed from time to time, and her husband would chastise her against speeding, saying, you know, stop that. And I bring that all up to say that the guy was an American hero, not a criminal. Okay, and there was literally no charges against him whatsoever, and they literally created a kill zone, and they literally murdered Lavoie Finicum. Okay, the government lied and got caught. We all thought there was 6 shots. Turns out there was 8. Turns out the Oregon State Police murdered Lavoie Finicum. 3 shots. And we've even identified who did the murdering. Why? Because, well, Shauna Cox, blessed Shauna, was able to take a video that they didn't realize that she had. And when you put the videos together, you find out the government got caught lying over and over and over. And they perjured themselves on the stand. I mean, it is shocking. And they literally intended to murder Lavoie. They've admitted it beforehand. Okay, they wanted to kill Lavoie. In fact, they wanted to kill more than Lavoie. And I don't think they expected women to be in that car. And I think what happened, it's a long story, but what happened is some changes of events. People didn't go with who they thought they were going to go with. The, quote, government provocateurs is what I would call them. Who had engineered this, kill zone? Okay, government informants is what they're called, but I call them provocateurs. Anyway, a couple of people who planned this event for the government, the, quote, informants, who had infiltrated the Ammon Bundy group, okay, these people had orchestrated it to go in a certain way, and a couple of people didn't do exactly what they were supposed to, and so Victoria and, these couple girls were in the car. And they didn't expect that. I think that saved Ryan Bundy's life. Anyway, all I'm telling you is the government knew about this in advance and intended to kill Lavoie Finicum. And believe it or not, the man who first responder who went to Lavoie after they shot him to pronounce that he was dead literally said there was no gun. Later, they said, oh, he had a gun. He was reaching down for it. Okay, it's all bogus. When you see the videos together, that's proven to be a lie. Anyway, I go on and on. All I'm telling you is that day was a sacred day. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I believe this is a battle between God and Satan. And I believe that the war in heaven is continuing on earth. And when we go and peacefully march to free the Hammonds, and we sing Amazing Grace to them, we demonstrate our willingness and our we declare our side, if you will, to follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And when the government plots to murder people with zero charges against them, innocent as all get out people, they demonstrate they're on the wrong side. They are rogue agents in government. They violate all of our laws, and they become criminals in their own rights. Just because they wear a government badge, make no mistake, they declare themselves as criminals when they don't follow our laws, when they lie, when they perjure themselves, when they withhold evidence, when they think they have the only recorded videos and they think they've got the upper hand because they're manipulated, pre-planned lies, and then we blow it up with a video they didn't know we created and have. Okay, that's immoral. That's got to stop. Anyway, that day was sacred. I was there, and I don't want anybody to tell you it was a waste of time. Or that the suffering or that the loss of life or anything is a waste and of no value. That is false. Lavoie Finicum is a hero, and he is on the tip of the spear for the sacred cause of liberty. And we have demonstrated our peaceful intent. The only people that have been harmed in this have been harmed by government with guns. All right? We had guns, too. It's just that we didn't harm anybody with our guns. And so, really, my mind goes back to the Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen. And I think about the Founding Fathers, and they spent their time documenting the abuses of the king and their peaceful attempts to restore what they considered was rights and the proper balance. And they, in the Declaration of Independence, they document the train of usurpations against them. And then they display that to a candid world and before God and angels, and they basically say, hey, you know what? This is what we've endured. These are the abuses, and this is why we must take the action we must take. And I look at Lavoie Finicum's sacrifice of his life, and I look at the peaceful rally that we were involved in, and the efforts of Ammon Bundy and all involved as our efforts to document the peaceful efforts on our side and to document and highlight the trains of usurpations against us all. Okay? They didn't just kill Lavoie Finicum. They took a strike at my liberty as well. Why? Because Lavoie Finicum was an innocent man who broke no laws. All right? And so understand this day in history, demonstrating our peaceful rally and the singing of Amazing Grace and all that we did there, highlights before God in the recordings of eternal history of who we are and how peaceful our intent is and how satanic and evil and barbaric and destructive and immoral and dishonest that some of these rogue agents in government have become. Dan Love and others surrounding him created this fiasco that resulted in the murder, the flat-out intentional premeditated murder of Lavoie Finicum. And I'm telling you that last night was just, it was touching. It was just incredible. And anyway, I was grateful to be there is all I'm telling you. And there wasn't as many as we would have liked. It's sad in America. You could do a strip tease for halftime for the football game, Super Bowl, and everybody's all cool. What, 100 million people? You document that an innocent man was shot in the back, murdered by the FBI, and then they lied about it and got caught lying about it. And it's very tough to get people. Very tough indeed. But make no mistake, the sacred cause of liberty is just as valuable, just as critical, just as important as it ever was and always will be. The Founding Fathers fought for it, and we shall do the same. But I'm telling you that these criminals in government need to be stopped. The FBI has turned into a criminal enterprise, folks. Not only the way they treated Lavoie Finicum and literally created a kill zone and murdered him, innocent blood, but then they lied about it and covered it up, and then we had to catch them in their lies. Okay, they did the same thing to Ammon Bundy so much so that the judge threw out the case and said, this is just insanity. The government's withholding exculpatory evidence, okay? But then they did the same stuff against Donald Trump, right? Yeah. The FBI has turned into a criminal enterprise, folks. Are there good people in the FBI? Yes, there are. And you know what? Many of the good people that I've talked to involved in the FBI are just shocked. Some of them have even quit working in the FBI because they're so distraught about the turn the FBI has taken. Instead of it being an honorable organization that would defend the rights of individuals and protect life and protect liberty, and I don't know what's happened in the organization, but it's turned into a criminal enterprise in many, 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 many cases. You say, well, Sam, there's still a lot of good people there. I agree. There are. The problem is you might say that's a really nice, good, pretty apple. But if somehow they got the coronavirus in one little teeny bite, the whole apple's bad. We're starting to get that way with the FBI and some of these organizations, the FBI and the CIA. They're just involved in criminal activity after criminal activity after criminal activity. You want me to point to the Operation Gunrunner to make the point? Or Operation Gunwalker, whatever it's called? Operation Fast and Furious to make the point? They were literally arming drug cartels and blaming it on gun shows. I digress. Anyway, all I'm telling you is it was a sacred day. I was grateful to be there, and we are peacefully documenting who we are and what we do for the sacred cause of liberty. Let that record stand. FBI, you want to download the show? LibertyRoundtable.com and LovingLiberty.net, baby.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
We really believe that the risk at this point is increasing.
Kathy Lopie with the Washington State Health Department announcing two new presumptive coronavirus cases. KOVR-TV's Marissa Perlman.
We spoke with Dr. Jeffrey Klausner. He's an expert in the field of infectious disease. He says the team will engage in what's called contact tracing, interviewing family members and trying the impossible task of finding anyone who came within 6 feet of this infected patient.
So you try to develop a list of all these contacts with their names, with their phone numbers, and then you begin the laborious process of trying to contact them.
He says getting 100% of the people who made contact is impossible. And once contact is made, that same team will decide if they need to engage in quarantine protocol.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. You all know I'm a big believer in gold and silver, especially in a world of out-of-control government spending. Federal debt is exploding around the globe. Silver is up more than 25% in the past year, and many experts are predicting new highs in the coming years. For a limited time, my friends at Finest Note are making a deal for war fans, and I love deals. Finest Note has evolved over the past three decades from one of the largest rare coin and precious metals companies in America. I told my friends at Finest Note to go big or go home. They went big! Finest Note is offering up to 100 pure 1 ounce American Silver Eagles at dealer cost. The American Silver Eagle is the world's most popular silver coin. For a limited time, you can acquire a pure 1 ounce Silver Eagles at dealer cost. Here's the deal, folks. Throughout history, currencies have come and gone, but gold and silver have stood the test of time. Now may be the best time to acquire these time-tested hard assets, and there's no better place than Finest Known. Call Finest Known today and reserve 100 Silver American Eagles. Call now at 800-663-1929. That's 800-663-1929. Or go to FinestKnown.com.
President Trump has nominated Republican Congressman John Ratcliffe of Texas to be Director of National Intelligence. He was selected for the position last year as well, but he withdrew from consideration after the media criticized him about whether he had qualifications for the job. Dan Garay is a former Defense Department official who says the confirmation hearings could be interesting.
People may want to question him about whether he's going to be an independent source of intelligence to the White House, to the administration and all the agencies, or he's going to allow it to be politicized.
There were some scary moments in Philadelphia. A man stole an ambulance and led police through town on a high-speed chase. Seiko Kinnebrew with the Philadelphia Police Department.
Fire rescue units were met by a male who was shirtless and wearing what appeared to be the shorts or boxer shorts. He started driving in the direction in the medic unit toward a police officer.
The officer shot the suspect three times, then was injured when the ambulance hit him. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Anyway, the Lavoie Finicum Dead Man Talking series, there's four episodes to the series. I'm telling you right now, what you'll learn in that is shocking, to say the least. I didn't realize how valuable the video is that we got on our side of the occasion that literally blew up the government's dishonest lies. Yeah, it's wow. Shauna Cox did a phenomenal job, got that video, and it literally blew up the government's case. So the truth comes out. Government agents got caught lying, and they're criminals and should be put in prison for a long time for the murder of a completely innocent man. The premeditated murder of an innocent man. Anyway, Jeanette did a phenomenal job there, and I learned some things that I did not know. Primarily about how Matt Shea and others have forced the government to admit there were no laws broken. Secondly, that I knew the government had murdered Lavoie, but I didn't realize how premeditated and how planned it was. And I didn't realize that the videos being matched up literally caught government bureaucrats in the act and proved they perjured themselves in court and lied. Okay, this just goes to a new level of criminal activity by your government. But I digress. Again, the battle between God and Satan, the war in heaven continues on earth, and you got to pick which side you're on. I pick the Lord's side, and I pray we will do the same. But I'm telling you, God save the Republic of the United States of America, and Lavoie's life sacrifice will never go in vain. We will always remember, and we will fight for the sacred cause of liberty in Lavoie's name as peaceful patriots. Wow. All right. We talked yesterday about the appeals court. Donald Trump can withhold funding from sanctuary cities. That's good news. We also talked about the Donald Trump administration has stripped citizenship from foreign-born terrorists and criminals. That's good news, too, in my opinion. Anyway, there was a guy named Mark that spoke with Lavoie Finicum last night. I want to bring up one last kind of point on this, who was the filmmaker for the Lavoie Finicum Dead Man Talking series. He did a phenomenal job, I might add. Anyway, the reason that I bring up his speech is because he documented really how they've turned this racist narrative or this racist lexicon. He called it a 24-word racist lexicon where everybody is a white racist criminal. Now, he highlights what a lie that is, and he highlights the fact that that isn't true at all, right? But that's the narrative they go with. And he says, we've really got to reject this white racist rhetoric going on, because I'm telling you, they called Lavoie Finicum a white racist, a criminal, a terrorist. You know, you've even had, what's his name? He's the Nevada, well, he was a Nevada senator before, or whatever. And Harry Reid. You had Harry Reid on this film last night, you know, saying that all these guys are literal terrorists. But you know what? The government admitted that he had broken no laws. How do you break no laws and be a terrorist? Well, they've manipulated these terms into existence. They've created these labels, right? The Antifa folks literally, you know, burn cars and destroy things and take over, you know, places, and they're lauded as heroes. Okay, the government, Dan Love and others, literally faked a report saying that, well, Ammon Bundy and those surrounding him were a serious, serious domestic terrorist threat. Well, they falsified that report and got caught falsifying that report. Wow. You look at this and you go, wow. And so in America, you know, for the halftime striptease show, you can get 100 million people. For the sacred cause of liberty, it's hard to get people to come out. But Lavoie Finicum literally murdered in cold blood, shot in the back by government bureaucrats who lied about it and got caught. They admitted that there was no laws broken, but he's still dead. And you can't get anybody to really learn about it much. People are just too busy with their lives. See, the coronavirus, folks, could cause a Coca-Cola shortage. So that's probably worthy news that people would want to hear about. You know what I mean? And a lot of people are postponing all kinds of events. Utah hoping for the best, preparing for the worst. They say there's no cases of coronavirus in Utah. See, I don't believe that either. There is. They just haven't documented them yet. Facebook cancels F8, its biggest developer conference, because of the coronavirus. Anyway, yesterday with Pete Sepp live from CPAC, Pete Sepp with the National Taxpayers Union, Sam and Kirk created what's called the Mr. T tax plan. It's 10% sales and 10% tariffs. But I might want to modify that plan some. We're still kind of creating it in our minds and working on it. We did that live on the air, by the way. But I would go with 10% tariffs and 10% apportionment tax and not even do sales at all. The government would just basically say, how many people are in Utah? Great, 3 million. Perfect, out of the 300 million people in America, what's, you know, 300 million, what's everybody's singular percent based on a methodology above 18 or adults or whatever the case may be, and you just simply pay your apportionment to fund the proper role of federal government. Whatever tariffs wouldn't cover would cover the rest. See, that'd be a better plan. Anyway, we covered all that on yesterday's broadcast. It's still available on lovingliberty.net and libertyroundtable.com. Check that out. But anyway, I'm telling you, that Loving Liberty event was incredible at Liberty Hall last night. Lavoie Finicum, Dead Man Talking is what they call it. What a tremendous patriot Lavoie Finicum is. I'm not going to say was, because I believe he still lives, you know? Dead Man Talking, just very good stuff. And I say we need to make sure his sacrifice is never forgotten. All right. Garth Brooks, you know, the singer? You know, I've got friends in low places and the country song singer, right, Garth Brooks? Well, he was performing, man. And he had on a shirt Anyway, he got attacked for wearing a Bernie Sanders jersey. Now, first of all, if he was wearing a Bernie Sanders jersey, I would defend Garth Brooks. Not because I'm defending a Bernie Sanders. I think Bernie Sanders is a whacked out socialist, crazy man. Personally, I'm entitled to my opinion. I think he's an absolute communist, socialist, loving, whacked out nutcase. Okay, this is the guy that, you know, I mean, the guy's crazy. However, I would defend people's right to think and believe however they want to about him. And if Garth Brooks wants to wear a Bernie Sanders t-shirt, let him. Okay, if it were true. The problem is Garth Brooks got attacked big time for wearing a Bernie Sanders jersey. Everybody went ballistic on the internet. All kinds of fans are like, we love you. We saw you last night. We can't believe that you'd wear your politics on your sleeves like this. So disappointed. You know, frowny face. And everybody just started, you know, jumping on and attacking Garth Brooks for wearing a Bernie Sanders jersey. The problem is he wasn't wearing a Bernie Sanders jersey at all. It was a Detroit Lions Hall of Famer running back, Barry Sanders, not Bernie, Barry Sanders jersey. You got a Hall of Fame running back for the Detroit Lions, Barry Sanders. And yes, it's true. Garth Brooks was wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. But anyway, people thought it was Bernie Sanders, and they went ballistic on the poor guy. Now, what's this about? This is the vitriol and the hatred and the problems in America that have got to stop, folks. And you're going to let the government murder Lavoie Finicum because he's broken no laws? Then you're going to let the blogosphere go ballistic against Garth Brooks because he was wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. Okay, even if he was wearing a Bernie Sanders jersey, okay, you got to stop the hatred. You got to stop the attacks. Makes me almost want to walk around in public wearing a Nancy Pelosi t-shirt just to see what people do. Okay, I'm just telling you, we cannot go down this road of this hatred and jumping to conclusions on people and just this government's good, you know, everybody else is bad, everybody hates everybody, just divide on all sides. It's got to stop. So I'm defending Garth Brooks. He has every right to wear a Barry Sanders jersey. Again, Barry Sanders is a running back, folks. Hall of Famer, I might add. So he's pretty popular in his own right. But he's with the Detroit Lions. He's a Hall of Fame running back, folks. Barry Sanders. That's the jersey that Garth Brooks was wearing. And anyway, the mainstream press went all ballistic on it. And it's just crazy now. Crazy. I don't know why we do all that stuff. I just don't understand it. How did we get here in America? And I would submit to you that if we'd turn to God, if we'd learn to repent and learn to forgive, I think it could be way, way better in America, but it's going to take hard work. Wow. All right, quick pause. Sam Bushman live on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives? our liberties, our faith. To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, all four, you heard me, all four main cell phone carriers are facing penalties exceeding $200 million, folks. That's a lot of money, isn't it? $200 million, baby. The Federal Communications Commission has approved a proposal to fine T-Mobile, AT&T, and then they say, and two other cell phone carriers, more than $200 million for selling customers, quote, location data to companies that allowed it to be misused by rogue law enforcement agencies and officers. Not to mention they gave it to other people as well. Now, rogue law enforcement officers? Whoa, we better get a handle on that, folks. That's some serious business now. The proposed fines that were announced on Friday are among the largest we have ever seen. And the FCC has actually sought in years. Representing what they call a major action by an agency whose chairman has pushed for a, quote, lighter touch to industry regulation under President Donald Trump. It has taken the commission nearly 2 years since the first complaint about the practice from all four cell phone carriers, right? The agency, they say, is making the move because of repeated reports about public data abuse. Not to mention after several companies continue to sell access to treasure troves of personal, private, well, it used to be private information, for filthy lucre for months, despite lying and saying they were sharply limiting the practice. Wow, right? The carriers said that they would seek more than $91 million from T-Mobile, $57 million from AT&T, $48 million from Verizon, and $12 million from Sprint. Now, by the way, Sprint and T-Mobile merging, that's $91 million from T-Mobile, $12 million from Sprint. So between T-Mobile and Sprint, they're two of the smallest carriers. They have the biggest fine. Well, the fine numbers relate to how much they have violated. So the agency had found that the carriers violated a section of the Telecommunications Act requiring them to protect the confidentiality of customers and their call information. The fines represent the length of time that these carriers have failed to safeguard the data and the number of companies to which they shared the data. So the longer they were violating this data and the more they shared it with, the higher the fines. AT&T, the smallest, then Verizon, T-Mobile and Sprint, the two smallest carriers, but have been literally abusing the people the longest. They say T-Mobile's fine is highest because it's shared with over 80 different entities. That's according to the document. Sprint, by contrast, they say shared with fewer than a dozen. The problem is you got to put Sprint and T-Mobile together now, right? Ajit, or Ajit Pai, that's the guy's name with the FCC, said that the move demonstrated that the agency was serious about privacy. We took decisive action to protect American consumers, and we are confident in the balance that we struck on this one, he said. That's Ajit Pai. He was at a, quote, news conference speaking out about this on Friday. Three of the five commissioners at the agency, they say, all Republicans, approved the measure. The Democrats were just fine to continue spying on the American people and selling their data. One Democrat commissioner dissented. So I guess both Democrats rejected to the amount of time that passed before the FCC acted, among other things. So they're saying, you know, it was bad they did this, but the government was bad because they didn't act fast enough as well. Well, I have to agree with that point to some degree. We took nearly 2 years to even propose a fine. Jessica Rosen, I don't know how you say her last name. Anyway, for the FCC said, that's not acting with urgency, and that's not understanding the scope and the risk to the public. Well, she's right about those things. Now, on one hand, I don't really believe the FCC is even a legitimate government agency, folks. I think it's unconstitutional. But they say this proposal is not even the final word on how much the companies will end up paying. For example, T-Mobile says they're going to dispute this big time. The other companies will also have the opportunity to protest the findings. All right, now here's the problem. They say the data that was passed out or given, okay, is, the problem is it's not really regulated properly. The carriers, by the way, have already argued against the finding that they broke the law. They contend that the rules apply only when a phone is making a call, not when it's communicating with a network. So now they're playing games saying, well, you know, there's regulations about when you make a phone call, that's voice, that's not data. In purposes, when you're sending data, then it is different according to the documents. Now they say Michael O'Reilly is a Republican commissioner. He said in a statement that he found the argument persuasive and was approving the measure with serious reservations. See, I don't agree. Okay, because, again, you can say, well, it doesn't apply to voice, or it does apply to voice, or it doesn't apply to data, or it does apply to data. But look, at the end of the day, you've got HIPAA laws relating to people's privacy with regards to their health and everything else. You've got all kinds of other privacy laws and guidelines that apply. Just because you take analog lines and make them digital, just because you take voice and turn it into data, okay, you're still playing games with words. You know what the intent of the law is. And that's where I have a real problem. What they want to do is play games with the jaunt and tittle of the law. It reminds me of the Sadducees and Pharisees of yesteryear, if you will, where, you know what, you can't catch me because I'm, okay, or they say, sale of location data has become a hot business as smartphones have proliferated and technology for gleaning people's whereabouts have become much more precise. The information is valuable to marketers, police departments, and even investment firms, they claim. Wow. Right? Because it can provide revealing details about people's lives, what shops they frequent, where they live, what they buy, what they like to eat, and so on and so on and so forth. Not to mention what doctors they visit. See? So they'd say, well, that's not really HIPAA stuff, what doctors you visit. Okay. But I think they're playing games big time with words here. Big time. They say they did not break the law, but I say they did. And I'm not excited about the way the law is. I'm not excited about the SEC at all. But the problem is we have become a society of violating ethics, to say the least. Right? Ethics, in my opinion, are at the center of this thing. So it's too bad the government took 2 years and took so long to do this. They say the FCC action on this is only possible because the telecommunication industry is subject to more stringent regulations than the data people. You understand what I'm saying? The technology relating to phones is older. So the telecommunication industry is under more heavy regulation than the data or the companies that deal with data. Okay, because it's not as, quote, long in the tooth. In other words, your phone has been around a whole lot longer than your data, right? And so therefore, the laws haven't caught up. And so the reason that these cell phone companies say they're innocent is in that minutia between the two. So, for example, the tech giants like Google get all kinds of data and details and information from the, quote, GPS, Wi-Fi, and other signals where specific laws don't apply. Cell phone carriers get all this information from middlemen, you know. All right, so a sheriff, for example, used this information to track people without a warrant. Why? Because you say, well, the data laws don't apply. That phone call was made using data, not just, quote, voice. He gained access, this sheriff, by uploading documents that he falsely claimed were legal orders, including car insurance and health policies and training manuals. According to local reports of the prosecution, the problem is that the FCC was not able to address this in a timely manner. Why? Because the differences in laws that I'm pointing out between, quote, telecommunications companies and, quote, data companies. They say they failed to take reasonable measures under the law. Privacy folks say the fines are too late and too small. I agree with that, believe it or not. They are too late and too small. And the problem with this whole discussion, in my opinion, is where do you go with this thing, right? Okay, it's hard for me on one hand to defend the FCC in this. But at the same time, you know what? Where do we go when it comes to protecting our private data? Just because the laws haven't kept up, at some point, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to demand accountability here. Can these government individuals regulate? And let's say they're behind the game on the regulation. What happens when you and I are caught in the middle and our privacy is breached by these behemoth tech companies? Whether it be Google or these cell phone carriers I'm talking about now, where's the line? Sadly, this is the reason we need so much government, because of the immorality, where people aren't just normal free market folks. They're actually predatory, naked capitalists, right? Okay, this is serious. This is serious business. And I don't really know what more can be done about it, folks. Right? You got rogue law enforcement officers using this data. The problem is, you can't trust any of these people, can you? Wow. All right, we're going to come back. That's hour one in the can, hour two coming up. We're going to bust out and talk about the coronavirus, okay? Deep States coronavirus. How bad is it? What's going on? What do you think? Where's it going to go? I'll break down my thoughts and opinions. Just rough stuff in America. And around the world, huh? What a strange world we live in. I'm telling you right now, learn to get close to the Lord and stay there. Learn to repent and forgive and trust in God and learn to walk by the Holy Ghost and guidance from the Almighty, and all shall be well, folks. Will it be perfect? Far from. But we got a bright future ahead. God save the Republic.